Okay, so let's talk for just a couple of minutes about some of the evidence that was presented in the video. There were a few pieces that we saw in the earlier video about a month and a half ago that point to Amenhotep II being the Pharaoh of the Exodus. But there was some more new information that we got here that we didn't have before. The first one is that the father of Amenhotep II, his father had to have reigned for over 40 years. And we saw Thutmose III, who was his father, he reigned for 52, 53 years. And so his father fits the bill for the Pharaoh who issued the decree that all the male Hebrew children were to be killed under 2 years of age. And so, as he pointed out, there are only two pharaohs in both the 18th dynasty and the 19th dynasty in Egyptian history that reigned for more than 40 years. One of them was Ramses II, which lived more than 100 years later, and he can't fit the description for several other reasons. So the father of Amenhotep II fits the bill for the biblical pharaoh that ordered the murder of the Hebrew children. So he helps fit the requirement for Amenhotep II to be the pharaoh of the Exodus. And then he talked about the venture to go get slaves. The venture to go get slaves he was talking about would have occurred in the same year as the children of Israel departing Egypt in the Exodus. The children of Israel would have left somewhere around probably the springtime of the year. And of course, they're heading down here across the Red Sea and through the wilderness here. And so they're making their way through here. But he goes in the fall of the year, straight up here to the land of Canaan. Now, the land of Canaan had been controlled by the Egyptians for a long period before this. But when the Pharaoh of the Exodus loses all of his slaves because they just departed and they're gone now, he needs someone to come in and replace the workforce he just lost. All of that cheap labor is gone. So his father, Thutmose III, had made several different ventures up here into what they call the Levant, the land of Canaan and the surrounding areas. But every time his father had gone up there, his father had brought back a lot of stuff, but only a few slaves. Well, Amenhotep II, when he became the Pharaoh of Egypt, he too, before the Exodus, had made one venture up here into the land of Canaan just to put down a possible uprising after his father had died. They probably thought they could break away. So Amenhotep II had come up here, and again, he took only a few slaves when he went back to Egypt. But after the Exodus occurs, he makes this second venture up into the land of Canaan, and he comes back with more than 100,000 slaves that he's collected. It looks quite obvious like that's the reason he went there, was to go get some slaves. He doesn't bring back a whole lot of other stuff, but he brings back, as they said, more than 46 times the number of slaves that he had brought back in his first venture up there, and his father had brought back in all of his ventures up there combined. 46 times the number of slaves of all those other ventures into Canaan. Why? Because he had just lost all of his slaves. It makes perfect sense when you tie it in with what's happening in the biblical account. And then the thing that he's talking about at the end of the video there that we didn't have in that first video, as proofs pointing to Amenhotep II being the father, the Pharaoh of the Exodus, is what's called on our map up here, the city of Ramses. It, in Moses' day, was called the city of Avaris. Brother Mike Wallace talked to us about that a couple of months ago on a Sunday night Bible study in Genesis. But he tells us that when Pharaoh leaves and he comes back on his first expedition into Canaan, this is his starting point and coming back point when he's leaving and coming back to Egypt. Why? Because it's right on the frontier of Egypt, and it's where he had a royal palace there. But when he comes back on that second trip back from Canaan, he doesn't come here. He just bypasses it and goes right down to the Egyptian capital in Memphis, which is further to the south. Well, preacher, what does that mean? Why does that support him being the Pharaoh of the Exodus? Well, as he was describing in the video we just saw, in this city of Ramses, which was formerly called Avaris, they have found these mass graves of animals. Sheep, goats, camels, mass graves of these animals. And what it looks like is when the night of the Passover occurred and all of those all of those animals died the same night that the firstborn of the people died in the land of Egypt. He just ordered them to all the dead carcasses to be rounded up and buried, because you don't want all those dead bodies just lying around. That's going to start breeding disease if you don't get rid of all of that. And so he just ordered the city here to be cleaned up, all the animals put in mass graves, buried. And then apparently that city was just abandoned after that, for the most part. Why would they just abandon a city that Pharaoh had used on a regular basis? Well, that's very possibly where Pharaoh himself was living at the time when the night of the Passover occurred. And if his own son died in that palace, in that city, that would be a good reason for not wanting to go back to it. I mean, I know families that when they've had a child die, they, you know, for whatever reason, they moved and they wanted to just put those memories behind them, or they've had some other loved one that they've lost, a grandparent or a spouse or something, and to get away from the memories, they just had to move away from the place. And so that seems very possibly what Amenhotep II did. He had them bury all those animals, and then they just abandoned the city as a royal city after that. So all of those three things were not included in that first video we watched, but all three of them, again, point to Amenhotep II being the Pharaoh of the Exodus. And when you combine that with all the other information we already had, some of which was presented again in this video, like the things about Hatshepsut, the Pharaoh's daughter who drew Moses out of the river, when you put all of that information together, it seems almost impossible it could be anyone but Amenhotep II who was the Pharaoh of the Exodus. And more importantly than that, it proves that there is a Pharaoh of Egypt in the right time period who does fit all the biblical details of the Pharaoh of the Bible. So all those skeptics who've said this is just a story made up by the Israelites to fancifize their own history, nope, it fits perfectly. Biblical history and the archaeological ancient Egyptian history, they go right together and proves that the story of Exodus is exactly the way it was presented in the Bible, down to the detail. Boy, this ought to strengthen our faith in the Word of God. It ought to make us excited to realize that everything in the Bible is exactly the way that it says it is, even before the historians and archaeologists figure it out that it is accurate. Mary? It was Amenhotep II who was the Pharaoh of the Exodus. Yes, ma'am. All right, any other questions or comments? All right, I hope you enjoyed it. To me, it was exciting to see these additional pieces of evidence that fit to Amenhotep being the Exodus Pharaoh. But I hope you enjoyed it too. Next week, Lord willing, we'll be right back. And we're out of Egypt now, so we're coming up on the Red Sea. It's about to get Very exciting, one of the most exciting stories of the Old Testament. So I hope you'll be back next Sunday. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us as we take in all the information that we heard this morning. Help us to understand it, to know how to fit it in with the things we already know with Scripture, and to see how even secular history proves, documents, that the things in the Bible are exactly as they say they are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.